Hello and good morning and welcome to The Garden Show. My name's Kitty LaBounty.
And my name is Molly Kabler, and we're here in the studio live. Love to hear from you this morning, 747-5878. And no, we aren't going to take your pledge, but we so appreciate that you did last week. But we would love to talk to you about gardening.
Oh, yes, indeed. And we are back this week with another plant that is a natural for Southeast Alaska. I think both of us are into no struggle plants. Is that a safe thing to say?
That's very safe.
Yeah, it's like I try to grow things for the most part that seem like they are, that it's not a battle, that you're not trying to convince them that they're living in Southern California or in the coast of Italy or something. We are here in this glorious temperate rainforest, and there are plenty of plants that we can grow super well that other people cannot, that they struggle with.
And they wish they could.
Indeedy. One whole giant group of those plants, and my arms are stretched as almost as wide as they can go, are the primroses. And we're talking about all sorts of primroses, not just the little tiny ones you can buy in the grocery store or whatever, you know, seasonally, that do spruce up pots and things like that. If that's the only primrose you know, we need to introduce you to some more.
That's the primrose acaulis, and it's really common in commerce because it's a early season bloomer, and it sells very well in commerce because you can go to the grocery store or Home Depot or
wherever,
the local nursery, and there are all sorts of beautiful blooming colors to choose from, and they're tough enough to withstand this early spring weather. The downside for us in Southeast is that they don't necessarily overwinter here. Sometimes they do, but not reliably.
Yeah, so you never quite know with them. The other thing I wanted to point out is one thing that's a clue for why that I'm saying that we're both saying that primroses are like super easy. As I looked at the American Primrose Society website online, and a good chunk of the directors are from Juneau. So it's like this is something you would expect then to be an easy thing. So I think I've made my point adequately about that. But what's cool about them, so they like all of our water, they like our humusy soil, and they like moderate temperatures. And there are so many of them. They started blooming, a month ago, probably, easily, and they will be blooming through midsummer in some cases, depending on the year. But that's a long chunk of time.
The other thing that's nice is they come in different shapes and sizes. If you think primroses are the beautiful green rosette of leaves and those rose, single rose looking type small flowers, well, they are. But they're also, for example, Primula florandae, which is the one that blooms the latest in my yard. I'm kind of jumping ahead in the season. But Primula florandae blooms in July, and it's sweetly, sweetly scented. And it's a self-seeder. It naturalizes well, so it'll spread for you, tough as nails.
Yeah, that's what I like about these things. It's like they really are tough as nails. And the other thing is they a lot of them do self-seed. My japonicas is another one. So this is a kind of deep pink. It's not fuchsia. You know, it's not quite that crazy, but it's a really pleasant kind of pink purple. And it blooms. It has kind of something that's maybe associated with primroses for a lot of people, and that you get a whirl of flowers and then a stem growing up and another whirl of flowers and on and on. So a whirl is just, you know, when you've got little stemlets coming out all the way around the stem. So you see just this nice little candelabra sort of effect of flowers. And these guys self-seed like mad. I find them all over the place in my yard, which that's not a problem. You know, I might let one bloom this year or move another one or give it away. But I just love how prolific they are.
I was on my walk this morning and went by a yard that had a lovely display of primroses blooming. So a variety of the ones we call Wanda, it's hard to know what species Wanda is. They're probably closely related to those Primrose acaulis, but they tend to be super bright in color, same shape, but very, very hardy. And they're the first bloomers. They're in pinks and purples with a yellow eye. So beautiful selection of those, but also the Primrose denticulatus. So those are the pom-pom ones. And really, I think our climate is ideal. I think there are gardeners all over the world that would love to grow those. We get a little ho-hum about them because they're so prolific here. Yeah. But in a garden setting, boy, this one garden I was looking at was so beautiful. There were white ones, the pale lavender ones, and then that deep fuchsia one all together. It was stunning.
I love those. I saw that in another garden this last weekend, and I do really like that combination of colors. So what's interesting about a lot of these primroses that we're talking about is a number of them are native to the Himalayas. So the Himalayas, long ways away, but there are areas of that mountain range that are very similar climates to us and has given us, well, primroses, and it's given us one other plant that we absolutely love that other people cannot grow. So, like, raise your arms in joy.
Well, that would be the blue poppy.
Indeedy. So, and actually rhododendrons too. So, you know, that area, for some reason or another, because of the amount of rain, moderate temperatures and all that, has produced a number of plants that grow well for us. Now, no doubt they are looking at some of our native plants thinking, oh, this is so great. We can grow those here. But yeah, it's just the way it goes.
But back to primroses.
So
denticulata, or the drumstick one, anybody who will share primroses with you, I think it's safe to say yes. Sometimes when people want to share plants, you want to think twice because they might be very invasive. They might be so easy to grow here that they take over. And so so sometimes that's not the best thing.
Right.
But I think with primroses, you're safe and it's a good thing.
I think you're safe. One thing is a lot of the plants that give you a hard time in your garden that look really cool initially but then give you headaches are ground covers. Primroses don't tend to grow in that kind of, you know, they don't send out a lot of rhizomes all over the place and cover an immense area. I'm not saying they don't have any underground stem component to them, but they don't tend to grow quite that wildly. So you'll get a lot of them and you need to divide them for optimal, you know, survivability of those perennials. But they won't drive you crazy.
Spread gently is the way I describe them. And the other fun thing is they come in, well, we're already in love with all of the different varieties and shapes. But one of the ones I saw this morning also were the doubles. So the doubles look sort of a cross between a primrose and a small flowered carnation. And you mentioned dividing, and they really are going to retain the best health if they get divided every now and then. So your Wandas and your Dorothys, and the Dorothys are the ones that are a little flower that looks like a long tube and a little bloom at the end, almost like a mini daffodil, mini. So those are the Dorothys, and they're tough and easy as well. But these other ones, the doubles are special, but you do need to keep track of them and divide them and move them around a little bit to help them retain their vigor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, otherwise you will lose them. And this is, I had this other sort of theme I had written down here on my notes, and one of them was to keep records because it's pretty.
Oh, really?
I know, it's not weird. Yes, well, I want you to learn from my mistake is that I have a certain number of records that are pretty good. And then other things I have lost track of. And some of the things that I've lost track of are all the crazy number of primroses that I have picked up over the years at fancy primrose sales, and mostly in Southeast Alaska. I'm not talking about going to the UK to buy primroses or wherever else, but these are things that are available in Southeast Alaska from local growers. But I have lost some of their names. I have this really beautiful white flowered one on a tall stalk that produces a nice bunch of white flowers that have just a tiny bit, a hint of yellow at the center, and they are gorgeous. And I'm sure I'll be able to figure out what their name is because they're around and they have a light scent. But alas, my record keeping has not quite kept up with my primroses.
One of the name varieties, cultivars really, that stands out for me is City of Juno. And City of Juno is a stalwart. I believe it was actually a selection that came out of Juno. And it is probably a cross between a Wanda and a Dorothy is my guess. But anyway, it grows the flowers on a small stalk from like 2 to 6 inches bright, bright fuchsia pink with a yellow eye, but it stands up tall compared to the ones that are more ground hugging.
Yeah, so it's incredible how many different kinds of primroses you can get, how many different kinds you can share, and how little care they need. I mean, honestly, I put them into a perennial bed that's, you know, relatively well prepared, and every once in a while I'll throw some herring eggs or some sort of compost in there, maybe a little lime. But other than dividing them, I don't do a darn thing to them, which is kind of my gold standard for my perennials. In many cases, my perennial flowers, because I put more time, fussing time maybe, and even that's pretty low key, into my vegetables.
So one particular primrose I want to recommend to you are the auriculas. And the reason I'm going to recommend is that they're often in commerce and you can buy them, but they are generally not in bloom when you see them. And so they don't look as exciting as, say, the acaulis, the regular Wanda style, because you don't see the bloom. And yet these were the source of a huge primrose rage at one time. They were worth a tremendous amount of money. People were breeding them and collecting them, and there were grand shows and one thing and another. Well, I don't think we're going to get down to that level. Certainly not if we don't even keep records of what our varieties are. But we sure enjoy the heck out of our primroses. And one of my favorites every year is when my auriculas bloom. They like a less high pH soil. So if you're growing auriculas, throw some crushed shell or some lime on them now and then. Maybe grow them in a spot not right next to your rhododendrons, because they don't like lime. And they don't need, they don't need heavily, but they do tend to do better with a little bit of the higher pH or...
Right. Yeah. So a little neutral and above, maybe a little bit, and a little better drained, if I remember right.
A little better drained. But the trade-off is the scent is beautiful, and they generally, they come in purples and blues, some of the color range that not so common in the Dorothys and the Wandas.
So those are excellent. Hopefully we've given you an idea of like the range of primroses you can get. And I did want to remind you that this is a call-in show. So if you have a question or a comment about gardening, something to share, call 747-5877-8.
Call 5878. This is either one will probably work this morning, but ideally 747-5878. I did have a question this week, and somebody said, what are those yellow daisies that are blooming right now, and how do I get them? And so, you would think there was a simple answer to that. Well, there is. It's called Doronicum or Leopard's Bane. But the real question was, what are those yellow flowers that bloom all season long? And that's the tricky part of that, is that the Doronicum don't bloom all season. They're the first, to my way of thinking, the first composite, that first daisy style flower that blooms in your garden. They bloom really early. They're beautiful right now, but they're going to be finished pretty quickly. And those yellow daisies you see people growing all season long are not these. So I just don't want you to be fooled.
Go grab that leopard's bane, and it won't bloom all season. But they're one of the few daisies that actually bloom in the spring. They're pretty exciting that way, besides dandelions.
Right, and they're easy. They love rain. They don't need intense. They don't need intense drainage. They do pretty well, just moderate soil. They like a little sun, but they can handle some shade also. So. Doronicum or the leopard's bane, and the yellow daisies you're probably looking for are what we call the marguerites, and they'll be available. They're generally annuals. You need to buy them every year or start them from seed. Probably just buying them is going to give you the bloom you're looking for across the season. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that was the question I got this week.
So I hang out with a group of ladies, and we garden in each other's gardens every week. We rotate through. That way there's four people working on a garden instead of one, which is spectacular, and I love every second of it. One of the big discussions we had after a session was, okay, we plant a bare root tree. Do we need to prune down the top so it matches the roots? And this was a long discussion. And bare root trees are something that's available right now, especially bare root fruit trees. There's a lot of them around. About the only thing I was going to first say about that before I launch into the rest is water the heck out of them.
Hello, you're on the Garden Show.
Hi. So just a quick plug for this app that you can get free, which is My Garden Answers. I don't know if you know about it, but I'm extremely absent-minded, and I'll remember what I've planted, but then rapidly forget it. And you take a picture with your phone and load it onto the app. It compares. It used to talk to experts. Now it just compares with other photographs, gives you what it thinks it is. You can pay $5 if you want to talk to the experts, which I don't do. And then you can generally get a good idea of what you've got in your garden.
And say again the name of the app?
It's My Garden Answers. It used to be, I think, just called Garden App, but now it's My Garden Answers.
Huh.
It's free, I believe, or it's $4.99 maybe, but I think it's free. It was when I got it. And it's really helpful.
All right, wonderful. Hey, thanks for sharing that.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Cool. I have a stupid phone because I want my phone to not be as smart as I am. It's a issue. So I haven't explored any of these apps, but I do twirl around on the internet a lot. And there's always a certain amount of like, well, how do I decide if a website's reliable? Sounds like that one is working well for her. Okay, so the end of our discussion was there are two schools of thought. And you will find different things, but I would suggest not pruning the top down. I would suggest only cutting out those pieces that are dead in the top, and the rest of it is to water. And those new leaves will actually be more of a benefit than they are a cost. So I am not a pruner, and I have a number of Cooperative Extension Service publications to back me up on that.
Yeah, it's bare root plants, shrubs, and trees are shipped that way because it's so much cheaper. Soil's incredibly heavy.
Oh, yeah.
And those things are in dormancy. They don't have any leaves on them when they get shipped. So they work out pretty well. The key, of course, is that, you know, they get very, very dry and they need it. But if you think about our climate, we have a lot more water. So somewhere else where possibly it was wise to prune the top for some reason, I don't think it follows here.
Yeah, no, you still want to water them enough. You want to put them in some good soil. You want to make sure that graft, most of these have a graft, is like 2 or 3 inches above. But water, and then write its name down in a few different places so you don't forget.
All right, thanks so much for joining us this morning. I'm Molly Kabler.
And I'm Kitty Labonte.
And you've been listening to The Garden Show every Wednesday morning. We'll be back next week at this same time.